The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm here this morning with Terry Pinch. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Pat. How are you today?
I'm good. Good to see you. And I'd like to remind you that Biz Talk is brought to you each week by our Fox City Score chapter. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we move on through the show. But I'd like to welcome our guest this morning, who is Sarah DeBruin. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning, Pat and Terry. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here. Sarah is an attorney. She has her own law practice called Legal Business Edge, and we're going to talk a little bit this morning about succession planning and estate planning, which kind of go together. So,
right. When you're a business owner, you want to consider coordinating an estate plan for your family purposes and also for the succession of your business. So the two go hand in hand.
And a lot of times when people are, especially when you're starting out or you're young in your business, this isn't something you're thinking much of because you're just worried about, you know, making it through the next month, the next 6 months or whatever it is. And, you know, this is something you really should be thinking about right from the beginning, isn't it?
It is, especially if you're married, because there's marital property law. The marital property law in Wisconsin will give your spouse half an interest in your LLC percentage interest. So if you pass on or get divorced, you have to have some type of plan to deal with that spousal interest. That's an important thing to think about when you're forming a business or you're trying to develop a succession plan to get out of a business.
What happens if you don't have a plan?
If you don't have an estate plan or a succession plan?
Either one.
Well, you may have what in an LLC, your spouse will come in and have your entire interest, and you may have a partner that doesn't want your spouse in there because she or he doesn't know anything about the business. If there is no succession planning in an operating agreement between the members of the LLC, that's what you end up with. You end up with spouses coming in and not knowing the business, but yet they have control of the business. Estate plan, if you don't have an estate plan, the law in the state of Wisconsin will make one for you. And it really goes down the generational line of children, grandchildren, first your spouse, children, grandchildren. And once that is exhausted, it might go to your parents and then your siblings. So the state will supply one, but you want to make sure if you own a business, what is going to happen upon your death. So that's why they go hand in hand.
If you go into probate, I guess it is, without an estate plan, does it take much longer to wrap up the business? Is there going to be a lot of stress on the surviving spouse to clean up the issues that were there?
Right. That's the other reason why you don't want that stress on your spouse. Mm-hmm. That's why you would want to have an agreement and an operating agreement with whoever you're in business with or just yourself, a plan in your will for what happens to that business interest, directions in your will or in the operating agreement as to the role of what that spouse is going to be. So you don't want to leave a mess.
Yeah.
For your spouse or your kids.
An interesting one, too, and I've had it with two clients recently over the last month and a half, is they are running a business that's very dependent on themselves, and it's technical in orientation, and they have contracts with customers. If they pass away without a will, without an operating plan, what happens to the agreements with those customers? Is the LLC still liable for those contracts?
No, the LLC would have to be dissolved if he's the only member. Mm-hmm. The LLC would be administratively dissolved.
Okay.
And those contracts would be voided because you can't have a contract if the other party's dead.
So without an operating plan, your customers are going to be left in the lurch too.
Right, right. Okay. You have to look at it that way.
in the example you gave a little bit earlier, you know, oftentimes when I think of succession plans or estate plans, I'm thinking about my spouse and how it's going to affect her. But in the example you gave, a partner should be just as worried or maybe more so even about how it's going to affect them and, you know, and how they, who they might end up being a partner with in the future if something goes wrong, right?
Absolutely. That's if you have two or three people who own a membership interest in an LLC and all of them are married and one of them passes away, that spousal interest has to be taken care of. Usually, if the members are young enough, you could buy life insurance on the company could buy life insurance on the life of each member. So when one member dies, the life insurance proceeds will pay out and buy out his spouse's share. Because upon his death, his or her death, that interest in the LLC passes to his estate. And usually if there is a will or not a will, the estate goes to the spouse.
So what would be the process that someone who was thinking about starting a business and was coming to you and you were having this discussion with them, what would be the process that you'd go through to get them thinking about this?
Well, typically it depends. If there's a sole member of an LLC, you don't necessarily need an operating agreement. But I would encourage at that point he and his wife or she and her husband to come in and develop an estate plan that does deal with the succession of the business and what happens to it upon the death of the member of the LLC. That's something that I often get clients who think they can make an operating agreement that says when I die, my share of this business goes to my spouse and she gets to vote and she gets to run the LLC. You can't do that in an operating agreement. That is where people get it mixed up. That is an estate plan issue.
So if you're a partnership and you've got two or three members owning this LLC, how do you write it so that, or what do you do so that you ensure that, let's say there's three partners and they don't want the spouse of any of the three to make the decisions, but they want the ownership rights there, obviously, for the income. How would they manage that, through an operating plan or through individual estate plans?
Well, you'd have an operating agreement in that circumstance that allows for the company, upon the death of one of those members, to purchase, get the first right to purchase that deceased member's shares, including the spousal interest. That's typically the way it goes. And like I said, you fund it maybe through life insurance proceeds on behalf of that member. And if the member will leave everything in his estate plan to his spouse, then the operating agreement will kick in to say what happens to her share, his share of that business.
Have you had people that you've seen who maybe didn't think about this, you know, early on in their business? Sometimes you start a business and you don't think it's going to take off and go. You always hope it does, but, you know, it takes off and goes a lot further than you ever imagined it was going to go, and then come back in a few years and say, you know what, our accountants or whoever are saying we got to get something like this put together.
Oh, I've run into quite a few of my clients have been successful, and they may be the sole member of their LLC, or they may have a partner or another member in the LLC or a partnership. I have had that happen, and there is no plan or partnership agreement in place, and that becomes a mess for the spouse. So it also comes into play if you are not married but cohabitating or living with someone else too. You have to have some type of plan for your assets and your ownership in that business to pass on.
Could you just expound on that a little bit more? Like,
sure.
What something that someone could relate to? I mean, how that gets messy?
Well, I think the real issue is there are several times in your life when you probably need to come back and get an estate plan, and starting a business is one of them. So you can allow for the transfer and payout of the spousal interest. That's because of Wisconsin marital property laws. Another time you should get an estate plan is when you get married and you have children, because you want to provide for the guardianship and the welfare and build a trust for your children inside of a will. You want to take care of your spouse in that event as well, especially if you're a business owner. Other times, are, for instance, if you're living with someone, you want to have a clear estate plan if you want to give your partner some of your assets. You may have family members otherwise who, if you don't have a will, who will come in and take it all when you really meant to have your partner receive the assets or probate assets of your estate.
So from an estate planning point of view, this is something you should be thinking on about as you move through your life, right?
It's at different stages, sure. When your kids grow up then and they're all adults and you own real estate, either your home, your original home, or cottages or other recreational real estate, those are times when you definitely need to come in. I have seen so many times when people who have cottages and they give it all to their three children that there are big issues over fighting over the taxes, over the rights of ownership, everything like that. So those are stages in your life. There are stages in your life when everything should be reconsidered under an estate plan.
Okay, so we're talking with Sarah DeBruin this morning, and we're talking about estate plans and succession planning with your business. And, Sarah, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
You can go to my website at www.legalbusinessedge.com or call my office at 920-991-0404.
Or you can call in here this morning. Our numbers are 281-1150 in the Appleton area, or 866-887-1150 if you're outside the Appleton area. We welcome your calls and conversation. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY, and we'll be right back.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Do you believe your business can generate more in profits, be more efficient, and grow successfully? At Priora, our vision is applying financial literacy. Yours. You are searching for a method to truly understand and manage the cash flow of your company. You know you should have a better working knowledge of your cash flow. The Priora Business System is an excellent template for the motivated business owner to successfully achieve profitability and growth. Visit PrioraCFM.com for more information or call Tony at 920-450-2840.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Your legal business concerns are important to me. Legal Business Edge delivers value by working as a partner with you, our client, to help you understand your legal options. Focusing just on business law, we take the time to get to know your business and develop a legal strategy that will help you reach your business goals. Whether it involves intellectual property, contracts, negotiating for your rights, buying or selling a business, or organizing your business structure, Legal Business Edge gives you the creative legal options you need.
Sarah DeBruin provided our company solutions that saved us time and money, as the quality of her guidance and diligence provided creative solutions unparalleled by other attorneys.
Know your options. Call Legal Business Edge at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at wbd.org.
WHBY is now on Alexa. Just say, "Hey Alexa, enable WHBY radio." Then, "Alexa, play WHBY radio." It's that easy to connect with WHBY on your Alexa.
Welcome back. We're glad you're with us this morning. Our guest is Sarah DeBruin. Sarah is an attorney, and we've been talking about succession planning and estate planning and how it can affect your business. But before we go back to our conversation with Sarah, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the Fox City SCORE chapter. Our Fox City SCORE chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber Building in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, in Oshkosh, and also in Fond du Lac, and we serve an 8-county area around those three cities. We have about 50 volunteer mentors, and each is an expert in their field. We offer entrepreneurs no cost and confidential mentoring. We have expertise in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, best practices, law, and many other specialties. So if you'd like to register for a no-cost confidential mentoring session or to learn more about the Fox City SCORE chapter, you can visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about how the SCORE chapter can assist you with starting and or growing your business. When you're visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for a no-cost confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to SCORE. Within a couple of days, a SCORE mentor will be contacting you to set up a meeting. Remember, SCORE is no cost and offers experts who can offer you assistance in many different areas of your business. To get started, simply visit our website at foxcities.score.org. And again, I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to get in the conversation, our phone numbers are 281-1150 or 866-887-1150. You can give us a call and we'll plug back in. So going back to the conversation that we're having before, the estate planning has a lot of area that it covers. It, sometimes we think it's just about us personally, but it's not. Right.
Well, when I do estate plans for people, we look at the whole big picture, and you have to look at all of the pieces of, there are three different types of property that you deal with in estate planning. It's jointly owned property, for instance, your real estate. It's beneficiary designated property, which is outside of probate. That would be your 401k life insurance policies where you have beneficiaries named. Those upon your death do not go through probate or go through your will. And then the last basket of property is the just personal property owned as part of your estate, and that would include your house. It would include all your personal property in your house, a car, and that sort of thing. So there's different types of property, including then the business interest that your spouse would have in an ongoing business. That will have to be dealt with somehow in a will rather than just simply the operating agreement.
Just want to kind of pull everything together we've been talking about so far, because one of the things that both Pat and I and almost every SCORE mentor sees is we'll get into a session with somebody and we'll talk about needing a business plan, and you get a little bit of nervousness. You talk about needing an accountant, they cringe a little bit. You talk about a lawyer and it's almost like they're hiding under the table and they don't want to get a lawyer, they don't want to go to a lawyer. A lot of the things we've talked about so far kind of tie together into, why do you need an attorney when you're starting a business? Can you kind of summarize that for us?
Sure. That's an absolutely great question, and I understand that because I see new business owners coming in and thinking, thinking of this law business is really tough, or it's really, I don't understand it. It's not it's not that difficult, but the issues you need to be aware of are, like I said, if you're married, the marital interest. The other issues are, for instance, you might need an attorney to, you want to make sure you're getting all the proper licensing, all that stuff, for whatever type of business you have. There may be state licensing that you need, and an estate plan that deals with your interest in the estate, in the business. It's something that, especially, say you're married a second time and you have kids from both marriages, you want an estate plan that deals with that interest. business owner comes in, usually typically thinks they can just set up an LLC and get a federal ID number and start operating. But once that business becomes at least successful, all these other, you know, interests come into play about who will take over upon divorce, what happens if you get divorced, what happens if you get remarried. Those are all issues that need to be coordinated between the operating agreement itself or the bylaws of a corporation and the personal individual's estate plan. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this isn't complicated. It's just something that you have to do. And I think where Terry was referring to earlier that many of us as scormentors are talking about these things is because we've seen these in our own personal lives. You know, I worked for a credit union for 30 years, and it was unbelievable how often I'd run into situations with members that would come in and something had gone wrong or changed. And now all of a sudden they've got a really big mess on their hands, and you're kind of going, note to self, I need to make sure I don't do that.
So. Come to the attorney first, because usually when people come to me and it's too late and it's a lot more expensive. So to solve those problems at the back end is more expensive than just addressing it in the beginning.
And really you have to factor all of this into the cost of starting up a business that you want to do it right.
Correct.
You don't want to do it just to do whatever you have to get by to get going and whatever you're going to do.
Right. Those would be startup costs, you know, any consultation with a lawyer and any work that the legal that would be done legally is a startup cost for a new business and deductible. And I'm not a tax expert, but that is something you could deduct in your taxes.
Sure. Okay, so we're talking to Sarah DeBruin this morning. If you'd like to get in the conversation, our numbers are 281-1150 or 866-887-1150. Give us a call. You're listening to Biz Talk and WHBY.
Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Credit Union. Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Credit Union. Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Credit Union. Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Fox Communities, Credit Union.
Join us for the bike ride that feels more like a summer party. Fox Bike to the Beat, Saturday, August 4th in Appleton. Live music, food, and drinks. That's how we roll. Ride to support our communities. Fox Bike to the Beat, August 4th. Celebrate Mile of Music Weekend with a bike ride for all ages and skill levels. Don't miss a beat. Let's ride. Saturday, August 4th. Visit foxbiketothebeat.com to register online today.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night?
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here this morning with Terry Pinch, and we have been talking to Sarah DeBruin from Legal Business Edge. We're going to get back into the conversation, and Sarah, so if you were somebody who was looking to buy a business, perhaps from your boss or something like that, what things would you were counseling the person that's looking to purchase the business? What kinds of things would you be counseling that person and looking for?
Sure, that question's really relevant because I have a couple clients right now doing the very same thing. They're selling their business or they're buying a business from somebody, and they want to either form their own LLC and change the name or keep the old name of the business. Typically, if you want to buy a business, you want to buy the goodwill of that business, which includes the name of the business and all of its intellectual property, like trademarks or logos or signs, etc. I would advise a person, if you wanted an LLC, to buy out another LLC. There are certain Procedures you need to do and filings you need to do under the Wisconsin law, Department of Financial Institutions. If you're going to buy a new business, you always want to have a clear buy-sell agreement with a bill of sale saying, as of this date, the prior owner's liabilities and profits belong to the prior owner, and after that, the liabilities and profits belong to the new owner. And I've had cases where people have done a buy-sell agreement, but then they never changed the registration in the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, and the old owner remains liable, could be held liable because they're still the registered agent or they're still the, you know, registered office for the business.
So whose responsibility is it to notify the DFI of that? Is that
the new business owner should do that? It should be addressed in the purchase agreement or in sale agreement, but the new business owner would come in and change the registration of the registered agent to the new person and their new address.
So I'm not sure if this is your area or not, but you talked about goodwill. That's probably something you should be getting some professional advice to and how to determine whether that goodwill is a good number or not.
Sure. When you sell a business, you assign values to different things. There's the hard assets and there's intangible assets, and one of those is maybe trademarks or intellectual property like a patent that goes with your business. And the third thing is the goodwill reputation of your business. So you need to have that addressed, and there's a way you can assign for tax purposes values to different things and how the payout on a business will be. And a goodwill value is, it's very hard to do, but when you're having a purchase agreement, you're allotting the purchase price to go to each one of those things.
Many of our clients are people who have businesses that will not be sold, so they're consultants or doing contracting work where they won't be selling the business at the end, but they'll be running it down and no longer doing it. Is there anything they should be doing to close that business out when they do retire, like forming the DFI or anything in those areas?
Well, yes. If you are, you would want to, for liability purposes, to dissolve that, and you could file. You would file dissolution documents saying with the WDFI that the LLC or the business no longer exists. You want to do that for liability reasons. So you can't let it hang out there and have someone come in and, you know, a year down the road, you're no longer in business and they have a problem with your prior services or whatever.
So you want to keep an eye on a lot of different things.
There are a lot of different moving parts, you know, especially when you're trying to coordinate business planning with your personal estate planning. One of the things business owners don't always understand either is if you are a member of an LLC and you have other members, or you're just a single member and you borrow money from the bank, you oftentimes, most usually, if you're a startup, would need a personal guarantee. And a personal guarantee is something that puts where you guarantee or pledge all of your personal assets as collateral for the bank loan to your business. The business remains liable for the loan, but if something goes wrong, those personal assets are going to be at risk. And it's your part, not the entire part of your house, for instance, would be at risk. It's your half of the house that your spouse and your spouse doesn't own. Your spouse's interest in half a house is kept intact, but your interest in personal property would be subject to the bank taking back.
And I've seen situations where people are surprised. You know, they come to me as a mentor, and they're looking to start a new business, and I start talking to them about, you know, if you're going to borrow money, you're going to have to pledge personal assets, probably your house. That's the most common one, but maybe some other things too. So, and they're shocked by the fact that they think if they set an LLC up that they can separate the liabilities from the from their personal, but the bank is going to require that personal commitment.
The bank will look at, for instance, your spouse's total financial picture and your total financial picture in order to ask, to come up with a loan amount, and they will require a personal guarantee, and that means your half of your personal assets would be subject to the bank.
Does that mean then that you have to have the spouse a part of the loan when you make it?
No, the spouse typically, and there are forms the banks usually have, the spouse would sign off on a spousal consent, an acknowledgement that your other spouse is taking out a loan for this business. I've had that in my circumstance, and I've seen it several times in all of my clients.
Yeah. So this is another twist on this whole thing, that even as a spouse, so you're a little bit separated, you may be not running the business and things like that, but you have to be aware, too, that you're riding up and down with this as it goes along, good and bad.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. Just ask my husband.
So in the succession planning, as you develop a more successful business and things, and partnerships sometimes change where, you know, you start out with, you know, a couple people that get along and have the same goals and things like that. How do you work through a situation where maybe it's time to buy out a partner or change the ownership of the business?
Well, I've seen it oftentimes where partners have just had a fallout with each other, and it's very difficult to resolve that typically between the members. In that case, if one member can buy the other out, that's the best option. Otherwise, if there's two partners in a business and they don't get along anymore and they can't coordinate anything, they can't talk to each other, they can't really function as a business, then they really need to either sell it or dissolve it and take the whatever assets they have. For instance, maybe you own real estate with a partner, and you would sell that real estate and then just take your shares, your relative shares, out of that proceeds of that sale. I mean, that's very difficult when you have two members or three members that just don't get along anymore. You want to have an operating agreement that allows for that situation where one can buy out the other.
And that's not uncommon either, is it?
Oh, I've seen it a lot. I'm sorry to say.
So it's another, you know, good example when you should start get your stuff put together and figured out before you're fighting.
Right.
And when everybody's pretty level-headed. So we have a caller on line. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pat.
Bob, do you have a question for Sarah?
Yeah, she touched on it a little bit earlier, but I guess I have a client. I'm a score mentor. I have a client that is in the process of buying a business, wants to keep the name. He was going to thought he could keep the same LLC, and I thought, no, I recommended that you would set up a new LLC and doing business as the existing name. But I want to get some clarification from Sarah on how we should best do that.
Yeah, that's a good question, Bob. Is it an employee that's buying out the business?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's been an established business, so obviously he wants to keep the name, the goodwill.
Yeah, absolutely. You're passing that on. And like I said before, you need this buy-sell agreement that would allot different values in the purchase price to goodwill, to the assets, et cetera.
He's got that all worked out. He's got
good.
A very much of a sweetheart deal. The seller is moving out of state and offering a very attractive terms for him to purchase the business.
That's awesome. What he can do as part of that sale is he could just assume the name of the business.
Right.
And like I said, change the registered agent and address to his own so that the prior owner is no longer in the picture. Or he could form an LLC and still change the name on the original business name to himself as the registered agent and registered address for for purposes of serving papers and doing official things with
so
the company.
He could take over the original LLC by having the original owner remove herself from the as a member.
That would be the easiest way. You don't need to have another LLC buy out an LLC. You can assume the name of that LLC and responsibility for it in a purchase agreement, purchase and sale agreement, and then you change the documentation and amend the articles of organization and file that with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions.
So a legal document would have to be filed?
Correct. You'd have to change the registration with the state.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Bob?
That makes sense to me. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Bob.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. So, another question I've got is when you're going through the succession, when you're going through the early stages of putting these agreements together, sometimes people don't agree on terms and things. Do you give advice sometimes maybe to step back, for the person to step back who you're working with and saying, you know what, maybe you're working with somebody who's a little bit too demanding here, or in negotiations it's, you know, one of those tough things that do is you got your heart and emotion into wanting to do this, but maybe your head is saying it's maybe something you should hold up a little bit with?
Well, yeah, I think in those circumstances, it's a big sign your business won't be working out together if you're if you can't agree on an operating agreement. And in those circumstances, the other party, the other partner, I would recommend get independent legal advice from my client who first came to me who wanted an operating agreement, because they have conflicts of interest and I can't represent both. But, you know, that's probably not a good sign. If you can't agree from the very beginning, you're going to have problems down the road.
So that brings up a great point, I think, and you talk about if you had a situation where you have two or three partners involved, can they use the same attorney?
The attorney would represent the company, the LLC, but if there's a dispute among the members, they would each have their own individual attorney. They would want their own individual independent counsel.
When you're working with doing an estate plan and an operating plan, does that really need to be separate too if you have partners, so you have a separate lawyer for the LLC versus the estate plan, or should they be together?
No, you could use the same lawyer. I do that often where I'm working with a business owner on the business end of all his LLC operating agreements and other contracts and documents and trademarks and all that stuff. At the same time, I'm doing an estate plan, and it's very beneficial to do it this way because I know what his business or her business is doing, and I can coordinate that estate plan with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking a lot this morning about business-oriented legal advice, but you also do a lot of work in the personal area too, right?
Correct. I do is personal estate planning. And what we do as a firm is we have an estate planning kit, and we offer our services at a flat rate fee. The kit includes a will. For you and your spouse or you and your partner or just you as an individual. It will include healthcare power of attorney documents and financial power of attorney documents. There's a final disposition document, and there are living will documents that you would have for purposes of keeping on record at your doctor's office. So I work with individuals, couples, I do a lot of that whole estate plan. It's not just a will.
Yeah, it's a lot more than that.
Right.
We talked earlier before the show a little bit about some of the HIPAA considerations that people are dealing with right now that maybe, you know, you aren't aware of as an individual. And if you've got, you know, young adults who are 19 in college and things like that, you might need to get some documentation put together to make sure that you actually can find out if something happens to them, that, you know, where they're at. And
absolutely, that's really important. I have three college-age kids, and I do have those in place. One of them is because he plays sports, but just you want it anyway because they're adults now in college and you're paying the bills, but you know, they're the ones using the services, and you know, the same is in an estate plan. If you have have an agent with healthcare power of attorney, they can get a bill, but they can't ask about it because of HIPAA laws. So as part of your estate plan, you want to transfer, or you want to make an allotment for your healthcare power of attorney to have access to your medical records through under HIPAA. So you would sign a HIPAA agreement allowing you the healthcare power of attorney to have medical information.
One of the things I have too with my children, I've got college savings set aside in a 501c. How do you set that up in an estate plan so that you make sure that it goes to the children who you've set it aside for?
Talking about a 529 plan?
Sorry, 529.
Yeah, the 529 plan I'm dealing with, those who are out right now with three kids in college, those are assets that actually the custodians own. So you're most likely the custodian, and it's your assets that count against them when you go for financial aid and you apply for federal loans and all that stuff. Those would be assets that would be part of your estate. They would just go to your kids as part of the estate, but they have to be for educational purposes, and you have to have that all substantiated. It has to be for room and board and books and tuition and things like that. And it's difficult because if you have more than one child like I do, I may exhaust one child's account, and then there's all this paperwork you have to go to transfer the beneficiary on another account to that child if you need to change who gets the money, because some of my kids may not need it, and some of your kids will.
So can you do that directly with, say, EdVest and have that?
That's exactly what they do. They usually have their forms of changing the beneficiary from an account, or if you're going to change. What my husband and I did is we have six kids, so he was the custodian on three and I was the custodian on three. Well, it doesn't work out because I pay all the bills and figure out how to pay college expenses. So we've transferred custodianship to me on all those accounts. And then if I want to transfer money from one child's account to another, there are the 529 EdVest or College Bound 529 has a form for doing that. It has a form for changing the beneficiaries.
So there's a lot of things that have been going on in the last 10 or 15 years, it seems like. A lot of changes that have been happening that sometimes it's easy to get kind of lulled into, you know, I knew what this used to be, but something has changed along the way. Like a great example is the tax law changes that happened at the end of last year that are going to affect all of us this year later on and things. And it's really a pretty good idea to get an attorney that you can partner with and, you know, maybe start setting yourself up on some kind of a cycle that you're just generally checking and making sure that everything's working out the way you want it to work out, not the way you think it was or is or things, right?
Sure, I would absolutely recommend that. And as you go along in your business, you may want to protect intellectual property. You may want to have confidentiality agreements with your vendors or suppliers if you're in that sort of business, or confidentiality agreements with the people you provide services with. There may be intellectual property involved, like in an IT business that Terry mentioned before. There's intellectual property involved in that, and you want to, if it's central and very, very integral to your business, you want to protect that through the copyright laws or trademark laws.
How often do you want a client coming in to sit and talk about their business? So should they be coming in every year?
I think they should every year, because I would recommend the same, having an accountant check in kind of at the end of the year, in the beginning of the fourth quarter, say in September, or sitting down and saying, what does the tax picture look like? What does the business picture look like at this point?
Yeah. One of the things I really push with my clients, and both professionally and volunteer for mentoring through SCORE, is that you should have your core group of advisors, and you should be meeting with them regularly and telling them about your business so they can work with you and give you advice that maybe you didn't think you needed, but there's always something new out there. And that's
sure.
really important for people to think. In 20, 30 years ago, maybe you worked on your own, but you don't anymore. You should be working with your advisors on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, another a real good example of that is as your business grows and you are the only person, now you're hiring employees. You need to talk to a lawyer. You need to talk to an accountant. You're going to pay estimated taxes, and you're going to be doing withholding, and you're going to need new kinds of insurance. So that's an insurance agent for your business is another important member of your team.
Yep.
We're going to take another break. You're listening to BizTalk on WHPY.
Subtract line 6 from 13. Put in box 5 on form 1040EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcock. I've been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial real estate or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
Welcome back to Biz Talk, and I'd like to thank our sponsors that help us bring this program to you each weekend. They are Fox Communities Credit Union, who has been a longtime sponsor of Biz Talk. If you're looking for business-oriented banking services, please contact Fox Communities Credit Union. Thank you to Alberts & Haling CPAs. They have offices in Appleton and Green Bay. Alberts & Haling offer accounting services geared to support small and medium-sized businesses and the individual, including tax preparation and advice. Thank you to Legal Business Edge. That's Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Sarah offers legal services to business owners. She and her team specialize in business law, offering services for forming a business, contract review, intellectual property law, and patents, copyrights, and those kinds of things, and also personal law.
Estate planning, sure.
Great. And so we'd like to thank you for the help you're giving us. We also have Wisconsin Business Development, who is WBD. WBD are the experts in 504 loans. We had them on a few weeks ago, and they've got a great option for lending to buildings and fixed assets and some other things that are SBA programs. So thank you to WBD. We'd also like to thank Prior Cash Flow Management, Tony Bush's company. Proper cash flow management is critical to your success as a small business owner or manager. Tony has over 35 years of experience and is the expert in cash flow management, so thank you, Tony. And then we have Kendale Marketing. Zach Pawlowski and his team help keep our website up to date. That's biztalkwithscore.com. You can go out to biztalkwithscore.com and check on programs that we've had in the past. The podcasts are out there. If you'd like to listen to something we've had in the past or find out what's coming up, thanks to Kendale. And then a special thank you to the Business News for promoting our program in the biweekly business newspaper serving East Central Wisconsin. We'd like to thank Business News for the help they've given us. And thank you for listening. So as we finish up, Sarah, are there parting thoughts you'd like to leave with the listeners concerning business law and business succession planning and estate planning?
Sure. One of the issues small businesses who are LLCs should be aware of is as a trade-off under the new tax laws this year for the loss of certain personal exemptions, our wonderful Senator Ron Johnson put into the law a 20% deduction right off the top of an LLC's income. And that's important to remember. It's you feel like you've lost all these individual trade-offs, but this is going to be a big, big help to LLCs. The other things I just would say is, as your business grows, as your personal relationships grow, or change, or you get remarried, or a spouse dies, those are the times to come and seek out advice of an attorney.
You really need partners, and that's something we've talked about all morning long, that you need a partner in banking, you need a partner in an attorney, you need a partner in accounting, because you can't do it by yourself, and you avoid a lot of problems going down the road.
Correct.
If you get those people involved earlier, and then you work with them as you're moving along, too, don't
mm-hmm.
you?
And I have clients who come in and think, oh, my gosh, it's scary to do an estate plan. But they leave my office and say, that was easy.
And it's a huge relief.
Yes, it is a huge relief.
So do you want to leave us with your contact information again, Sarah?
Sure. It's my business name is Legal Business Edge, LLC. I'm on the north side of Appleton off of Mead Street. And my phone number is 920-991-0404. And you can go onto my website to contact me as well at www.legalbusinessedge.com.
I'd like to thank you for coming in this morning. It's always great to have you around. You're part of our SCORE chapter. And you always give good advice. And thanks again for being part
of
the show.
Thank you. You're welcome. I always enjoy being here.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Terry.
And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week.